Welcome to the sermon series of Paley Presbyterian Church. The following sermon is by Pastor Jeff Conley.
For God so loved the world that he gave his one and only begotten Son, that whoever would believe in him would not perish, but have everlasting life. And thanks be to God for this gift. Amen. And I invite you to be seated as I invite our young people to come join me up front. Everybody standing. Oh, Jonathan's coming too. Oh, no, you're not. Everybody up here, all the way up, standing. Hurry, hurry, hurry. Run like a bunny. Stay standing. Stay standing. Everybody standing. Very good. I need three volunteers. I need three volunteers. Okay, here you go. Touch right here. Touch right here. And touch right here. And okay, there you are. That's really cool. Do you know what you are? You're a wall. It's really fun. So I need three volunteers. Okay, here you go. Touch right here. Are you a volunteer? Sure you are. Oh, you're not? Okay. Volunteer. Volunteer. Okay, grab hands. Hold your hand out. Do you know what you are? You're a wall. So that's fun and exciting, isn't it? Okay, now everybody else sit down so everybody can see. Except I need one more volunteer. Okay, here we go. Do I trust you? Okay, are you sure? So, what is that? What is that? What is that? A door. That is exactly right. So can you just ooh, gee, this way, just a little, no, this way, just a little bit, just a little bit. If you think that this, or were to pretend that this wall went forever, and that wall went forever, what would be the only way to get to the piano? The door would be the only way to get to the piano. Can you prove that that's true? Okay, go on through and walk on because it went through ever. So you're inside, so that's great. Now sit at the piano and play something powerful. Okay. So hey, folks. Today, good job. I mean, really, unbelievable. No, I'm trying to shake your hand with my wrong hand. I understand that. So, there you go. So, good job. What did he do? He entered the only way he could because we have a wall and just one door to get to the piano. And our lesson today is about who the door is. The way to get into God's love is through who?
Jesus.
Exactly right. Through Jesus. Jesus said, I am the gate, I am the door, and we celebrate God's love for us as we celebrate his love for you by reminding you that you're
beautiful. God loves you, and we love you too.
Amen. Go ahead on with Miss Felicia and continue singing, or back with your families. Wait a minute, you didn't leave through the door.
Thank you.
Holy Jesus, in this season of Lent, continue to lead each one of us to you, the great I Am. May we know and understand how we can be transformed by you daily. So use your scripture, your word to us this day to transform, to change, to enliven, and to lead. We pray this in the name of the Father, and the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. Amen. I'm going to invite you to do something that may be difficult for some of us. I want you to think back to the very first, the earliest party or event you were ever invited to. I have pictures of some of my young birthday parties at 5, 6, 7, somewhere in there, those old little square pictures there. But can you think back at the earliest time that you were invited? You were invited to participate, to come. Or maybe if your brains are a little weak like mine, you have to go to later years. Maybe you have to go all the way up to the prom or something like that, or an event in the community. And do you remember what that felt like? To be a part of that special event, to be invited in. It's a good feeling, isn't it? Maybe smile, think about some of the things that you remember from that event and from that moment. So now I want you to think about something else. Can you remember a time when you were excluded? When there was an event or a party that you heard about from friends or colleagues that you weren't invited to? And how did that feel? And what was that like? So we have a question that's before us here this day that I want to contemplate. Is Jesus an invitor, or is Jesus an excluder? As you hear the scripture this morning, have that question floating in your soul, in your heart, in your mind. Is Jesus an inviter, or is Jesus an excluder? Hear these words from the Gospel of John, chapter 10, beginning with verse 1. Very truly I tell you, anyone who does not enter the sheepfold by the gate, but climbs in by another way, is a thief or a bandit. The one who enters by the gate is the shepherd of the sheep. The gatekeeper opens the gate for him, and the sheep hear his voice. He calls his own sheep by name and leads them out. When he has brought out all his own, he goes ahead of them, and the sheep follow him because they know his voice. They will not follow a stranger, but they will run from him because they do not know the voice of strangers. Jesus used this figure of speech with them, but they did not understand what he was saying to them. So again, Jesus said to them, very truly I tell you, I am the gate, I am the door for the sheep. All who came before me are thieves, bandits. But the sheep did not listen to them. I am the gate, the door. Whoever enters by me will be saved and will come in and go out and find pasture. The thief comes only to steal and kill and destroy. I came that they might have life, and they might have life abundantly. And this is God's word to each one of us this day. So Jesus speaking from scripture in a number of different ways. What do you think people see, or what do you think Jesus sees when he looks at people? Apparently sheep, right? uses the illustration a lot. We need to remember that in the culture of the time, in the ancient Near East, in that agricultural culture, sheep and shepherds were everywhere. I had fun with Becca this week, talking about her sermon. She's preaching tonight, my sermons this morning. And joy came to my heart when she said, you know, this passage, you can just imagine Jesus hanging out there with a field nearby and shepherds and sheep as he's teaching and telling this whole story. And I'm like, yes, I love that. And I still want her and Jonathan Meixel to go to Israel and get that full experience of seeing the area. And we were talking about the sermons, and she was reminded of a video that goes along so beautifully that brings this 2,000-year-old image back to us today. So we have a short video to show you.
Is it about then?
And one was in a rock pen out in the field. In the common pen there, it said that the shepherd could go into that common pen that had flocks from a number of different shepherds, and that shepherd could call out the call to his sheep, and they knew his voice. And only the sheep that belonged to that shepherd came out and then followed him because they knew his voice. It's a beautiful image, and even today we see it right there. Now, I'm going to confess something to you that I would pray that none of you would ever, ever do. When I was a pledge in Phi Gamma Delta, we had this great idea that we were going to head up to Oregon State area where, you know, they had a lot of farms, and we were going to pick up a sheep and drop it off in the fraternity house and just kind of let it run around into everybody's room. It was a great idea, right? Well, the second we got over that fence and would try to sheepy-sheepy or whatever we were doing at that stage, they ran. They, thank you, God, but they ran because, you know, how 12 boys would know what field to take this sheep back to the next day, I don't know what we were thinking, but thank goodness, and what a beautiful illustration that was. Did you hear what it said in Scripture? My voice. I'm the shepherd. They know my voice. They follow my voice. So you can see that image of one way that they were called out of that communal pen. But there was another kind of pen that they had also. And that was out in the field. And typically it was just a rock wall just above waist high. And that rock wall had one tiny opening. And if you remember a picture I showed a while ago, the shepherd would actually sit in the opening. The shepherd, as all these people knew, sitting in that opening between the wall that was protecting the sheep, was the only way in and the only way out. The shepherd was the gate. The shepherd was the door. The only way in and the only way out. And Jesus said, I am the gate. I am the door. So Jesus is exclusive. There's one gate. All other gates are false. And Jesus makes this very clear. But we might not like to hear this. We might not like that. That sounds like God of the Old Testament, not God of the New Testament, right? God of the Old Testament is a judgmental, strong, somewhat wrathful God. God of the New Testament is Jesus, kind and loving and gracious. We like New Testament Jesus, don't we? But Jesus is God, and God is Jesus, and Spirit is Jesus, and and never changes, never has, and never will. But it's making a very exclusive claim here that there is one door for everyone to go through. Do you know, you have to think about all other worldviews and world religions out there. As you contemplate them and think about different philosophies and religions, it really doesn't matter who the founder was. The founder of all these various world thoughts, world religions, could have changed. They came up with some spiritual wisdom, some ways of bringing people and thought together. But it really doesn't matter who the founder was. Jesus says it does matter. That there is one truth and there is one way. In Ephesians 2:18, through Jesus we have access to God the Father. Through Jesus, through the gate, through that one door, we have access to God the Father. That sounds pretty exclusive, doesn't it? In fact, it kind of makes Jesus seem like a bouncer in some ways, right? At an event or at the door. Over there. Kind of have this image of Jesus as a bouncer if we look at it as one gate, one door, when you look at it being exclusionary that way. Jesus is exclusive, but we can make Jesus elusive. Michael Card, in a song that he wrote, Scandalon, which means stumbling block, some of the lyrics go this: along the path of life there lies a stubborn scandalon, and on all who come this way must be offended. To some he is a barrier, to some he is the way, for all should know the scandal of believing. Scripture this morning tells us that there's one way. But Scripture this morning tells us two things about what makes it elusive. Going back 2 weeks ago, speaking of that invisible world and Jesus identifying the one, the leader of that evil invisible world, Satan. And here in this scripture uses the word klepto, the thief. Makes sense, doesn't it? We know that word, right? The klepto. The bandit or the thief that will come in and pull people away. Pull people away, pull those sheep away from being in that gate. So there are outside spiritual forces that we are challenged with and battling every day. But then there's that brokenness, that sin in the world that at times makes Jesus the gate elusive to us, and hard to dwell deeply in that gate, in our family,
in our country, in the world. I had a little fix last week, a hernia fix. I did one 5 years ago. I was walking around Israel 10 days later. I thought it would be no big deal. I was a little off. It was a little wrong. It was a little bigger deal than I remembered. And so here's Becca again. I go, Becca, not that she's the big TV person, but you know, she knows more cultural things than I do. So I said, Becca, what should I binge while I'm lying here in this bed and on this chair? She goes, well, you know what? A lot of people are watching This Is Us. Has anybody seen This Is Us? So This Is Us, interesting story. I think it had 16 episodes. I binged it in a day and a half. You know, the medication. And I hear people say, oh, everybody cries watching the show. I said, I didn't cry once. I was pretty chill. But it's pretty emotional, this whole thing. But I tell you, I finished just in time to be able to watch the last episode. And in that last episode, my jaw dropped because there was an argument between a husband and a wife. And it wasn't about toothpaste. And it wasn't about socks on the floor. It was about, why do you love me? Why do you love me? It was raw and powerful. But it's that pain that so many relationships go through because of brokenness that leaves dwelling in the fullness of the pen, in the presence of our Lord and Savior, elusive, because we ourselves in our brokenness, even in our own families, live out that kind of pain. And in our country, in all countries, in England, France, Holland, Greece, the US, all that's going on in politics of the world these days, struggle on both sides and everywhere. People making fun, calling names, putting down, doing all kinds of things this way to exclude others out. Then you have the other side of things. And I was kind of shocked by this. Patty walked by one of the neighbors in our neighborhood who said, or who had a sign that said, hate has no home here. You seen those signs? Not sure who's sponsoring them, but there's one in our neighborhood, hate has no home here. And Patty engaged that person, and she told me who was sponsored by, and I can't remember that, but this is the important part. They began to talk about our president. And the owner of the house said, well, I hate him. So hate has no home here until it's, oh no, I hate him. Where's the sense in that? Where's the sense in a conservative speaker being invited to Middlebury College, where the college students wanted to protest that he was invited to be there? Another opinion when people are saying all opinions are open. And what happened at Middlebury College this week? Violence among the students to the point that the sponsor of the event was left in a neck brace by the end of that. It's happening in our world. You're right. Such division. What is the church called to do? Something very different. It's in our families, it's in our nation, it's in our world. Be honest. Be honest. How many of you get emotional or weepy, verklempt, when one of those SPCA commercials comes on with the little puppy dog or kitty? In the arms of an angel. Oh, I mean, right? Are you devastated? Now here's the hard part. Do you know how awful the famine is in Somalia right now? Are our hearts breaking for those hundreds of thousands of men, women, and children? Are our hearts breaking for all those refugees trapped in camps on an average of 17 years? 1% getting to go home, 1% repatriating to another nation, most in those camps. Do we have that same kind of emotion for that reality in the world? Jesus seems elusive because at times we put on blinders. At times we're spiritually attacked, and that is very true, but at other times we're putting on blinders to our own thing, where we can treat our spouse or family member a certain way, when we can treat a person with another kind of opinion a certain way, or when we can blind our eye to the pain that's going on in the world. That's where Jesus becomes elusive. But the full reality is Jesus is inclusive. Jesus is not a bouncer at that gate who's That is not an image of Jesus, the one true gate. For the character of God and the character of Jesus comes out very clearly in 2 Peter 3:9. The Lord is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. Hear that about the gate and the door. The Lord is patient with you, not wanting any to perish, but all to come to repentance. How beautiful that is. An exclusive message that we at times make elusive, which in reality is very inclusive. James Montgomery Boyce preached down at 10th Presbyterian Church. His wife had been a member. She grew up in that church when Donald Gray Barnhouse, do you remember that name, was preaching down at that church. I guess he was on TV also as a commentator. James' wife had heard her whole life about Jesus, about this call, about this faith, all kinds of things. But in reality, didn't put her trust in Jesus until a sermon she heard from Barnhouse. And so I invite all of you to look at the cross. And as the cross meets there, right where the cross meets, imagine there's a door there. Imagine in that cross that there's a door, and each one of us is being invited just to come in, just to join. So imagine that you're one that walks to that door, and as you walk through that door, you look up, and you see a sign on that door that says, "Whoever so will may come." All are invited. All may come. All are welcome. And then he preached about taking that next step through that door and just being inside and having a shocking thing happen in your life. All of a sudden feeling lighter than you have ever felt because that burden of sin that you had been clinging to and hanging on to and that shame and that guilt and that pain just all fell off. Just like that. Are you okay?
He's fine. Yes.
Okay. As long as you're fine, that was a beautiful illustration. I appreciate that.
It was totally planned.
Totally planned of everything falling off the second you walk through that cross. Because what Jesus does for us is take on that sin, so that he removes it from us. And as you walk another step through and you turn around, and you look at that door, it says, chosen by Christ from the foundation of the world. Chosen by Christ from the foundation of the world. How beautiful. Look at the cross again. Don't think about falling papers. Think about a door on that cross. Think about an invitation for all to come in. Think about the sin that falls as you walk through there and celebrate that from the foundation, very beginning, the foundation of the very beginning of all time, God had called you to come to that place. It is an exclusive door, and we confuse it and make it elusive. But the reality and the power of the message for us is how inclusive Jesus, God, is. Jeff Chapman writes in a sermon, Jesus is the gate, the door. Through him we are saved, secure, and satisfied. Through him we come in and go out and find pasture, life, abundance. So who is Jesus? Jesus is life. And on this day you have an invitation that's there before you. For some it may be an invitation to go through that door for the first time. To let the burden of sin be released so that you can walk in peace. For others of us, as we're inside that door, it's a reminder to take off those blinders. To see what God wants us to see and to respond as Jesus wants us to respond. So during our time of prayer, pray for yourself. Ask God to open your heart. Speak to me, God, whatever it is. Pray for those that you are seated around, that God would be speaking to them and opening their hearts to the fullness of God. And if you have a specific need this day, ask pastors and elders to come forward at this time. We'll be up here, ready to pray for you. As we give thanks and a blessing over these beautiful prayer shawls that have been made for numerous people. Sit, listen, pray, and be invited to come forward.